Welcome back to the BunSports.com podcast for this week of November the 11th, 2014. We are on until week 12 of the college football season. Can you believe it already? We've completed 11 weeks and we're working on week 12. And what a weekend we had this past weekend. We had six ranked versus ranked matchups, and we will get into the conclusions of those and what to make of those with the college football professor in a moment. But we had one matchup that was not ranked versus ranked, and it ended up being a very significant outcome, and that is the Texas A&M Aggies getting a 41-38 victory in Jordan-Hare Stadium over the Auburn Tigers. Quite a surprise. College football professor, what do you make of that? And what does that say about the SEC? Auburn was thought to be one of the top teams. Is it not quite as strong or stronger because of that?
Well, I think it says something about Texas A&M as well. You have to really admire the way they came back from. Looks like they were, people had thrown them in the grave and were shoveling the dirt in on top of them, and they came back. And when you think about it, of course, we know that Auburn fumbled in the last minutes of the game. But when you can't lose sight of the fact that Texas A&M scored 41 points. That has more to do with it than the two fumbles. And Jacob, I just was thinking that in that Auburn game, that last fumble that they had, rather than having a silent snap count, they had a silent count snap. Hmm. And when the center, Reese Disbukes, snapped it to quarterback Nick Marshall, when Nick Marshall was looking at his coach rather than watching the ball. So you never know what's going to happen in a football game.
No, you don't. And until Saturday, Gus Malzahn had never lost in November as an FBS head football coach. He was previously 8-0. He'd also never lost a game at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and he did that for the first time Saturday. So some firsts in a negative way for the Auburn Tigers. But let's move on. Plenty of matchups to talk about. We'll get to Alabama, LSU in a few minutes. What a wild finish that was. But I want to start in Provo, where Oregon was able to get a 51-27 win over the Utah Utes. And it wasn't close. And, of course, I know I predicted the upset last week and didn't come true. But what do you make of that play there? That was an incredible play that the Utah player was about to go into the end zone for the touchdown. He celebrated, laid it on the turf in play. Oregon player picked it up with a little bit of a showmanship and then ran it for a touchdown.
Well, Jacob, I've called that my Dukes of Hazzard play of the year. And it's, you know, if he didn't watch it, he's going in for the touchdown, and to celebrate, he flips the ball on about the 2-yard line, and Oregon picks it up and goes back the other way. Had that play not happened, that was a 14-point turnaround. It would have been Utah 14 and Oregon nothing, but yet it wound up being 7-7. I'm not so sure the game would have turned out the way that it did.
Could be. You never know. I tend to think Oregon had a pretty significant margin in that game, but you never know. Baylor, 48-14 over Oklahoma. They scored 45 unanswered points after trailing 14-3. That is the most a Bob Stoops team has ever allowed, scored at one time before, and that snapped a 37-game losing streak against AP-ranked teams there. Baylor, well, that was the eighth longest in college football history, so a nice snap to streak there. But, man, Oklahoma looked terrible.
Well, Jacob, you'd have to say that his name is Bob Stoops. It's not Bob Stops, because they're not stopping anybody. And I don't know what's going to happen. Oklahoma is just not, they're not one of the better teams in that conference.
No, they're not. And I think people read way too much into that Sugar Bowl last year against Alabama. TCU 41-20 over Kansas State. Kansas State is now 0-10 all time when both teams are ranked in the top 10. So this is another loss for Kansas State in a big game. Kansas State's a good program, but they just can't get over that hump and become great.
No, and you can sort of understand that. They got a great coach. They play their game plan's always great, but they never have a lot of great players, and so consequently they're going to be in games when things start going downhill on them. It just they're not able to turn it around just by talent. It's always scheme and playing with a big heart.
In the Big Ten, Ohio State got a 49-37 victory over Michigan State. This was Ohio State's 21st consecutive regular season Big Ten win. That's the longest streak in conference history. And Michigan State allowed 49 points in the regular season for the first time since 2008. course, they allowed 49 against Alabama a couple of years ago in the bowl game. But this was a very poor showing and embarrassing if you're a Michigan State fan, because they pride themselves on defense up there, and Ohio State just bludgeoned them.
Yes, and I think it says something. To me, it just tells me more about how the Big Ten is the weak conference that it is.
And Arizona State, 55-31 over Notre Dame. Arizona had more defensive touchdowns. Now, get this, more defensive touchdowns against Notre Dame than it had in the entire other eight games they played combined. Notre Dame allowed 55 points. That's the most it's allowed since 1985. So a very poor showing by Notre Dame. A lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes. They didn't deserve to be in the college football playoff, and now it's official.
That's right. However, Jacob, I think if you use the eye test, I'm not so sure Notre Dame doesn't have a better team than Arizona State. But I'll tell you what, they certainly didn't show it that day.
Yeah, and that's the issue there. Arizona State, they will have to play Oregon and Arizona to end the year. But that's a good question. How good are they really, I guess, is the question. All right, so what is your top four right now, Professor?
Well, I'd have to say that it's Mississippi State, Alabama, Oregon, and Florida State.
So you have Alabama ahead of Oregon.
Not necessarily. Okay. I'm not going to put them in exact order.
So this is not in order.
No, I keep thinking that Florida State doesn't belong in the top four.
No, you can't.
But I just keep leaving them there.
You can't move them out. You're right. And Mississippi State right now, clearly the number one team. They play, of course, in Tuscaloosa. And let's talk about some of these games, and we'll start right there. 9-0 Mississippi State coming into Tuscaloosa to face Alabama, 8-1. This is one of the games of the year now, I think. And where do you look in this game? Which team do you favor?
Well, I favor Alabama in this game. Think about this, Jacob. In the last 5 years, the score has been in Alabama's favor, 31-3, 30-10, 24-7, 38-7, 27. So they've really won six in a row, but that's the last five games. And if you were to ask me, you know, I think about Mississippi State. Of course, they got Dak Prescott, who's really an outstanding player. They have Josh Robinson running the ball, who's really a good runner. And they have a real good defense. I mean, a really good defensive front led by Chris Jones. But Alabama comes back. They have Amari Cooper, who's a tremendous football player, and T.J. Yeldon. We're not sure about his health at this point. And they have Landon Collins and Reggie Ragland leading a defense. These are two good teams. But if you were to ask me what I think is going to happen in the game, I believe Alabama will win it by two touchdowns or more.
Oh, my. All right. Well, there's a bold prediction from the college football professor. Nebraska, 8-1, is playing at Wisconsin, 7-2. This is a chance for the Big Ten. And Don't even ask me which division name it is. I don't know. But it's on that side, the opposite side of Michigan State, Ohio State. Nebraska, Wisconsin playing for a chance to get to Indianapolis. The last time they played was the 2012 title game, and Wisconsin won slightly in that game by 70-31. So what do you look at in this game? Interesting.
There's just no way for me to tell. The last time they played, as you've just said, Wisconsin just literally skunked them, and they didn't play each other last year. But this could be the winner of this will probably be playing Ohio State in the championship game. So we'll just see.
Florida State, Miami, and Florida State, of course, 9-0. Number two will be in the next college football playoff rankings. Only a 2.5-point favorite against Miami. Do you think there's a chance of an upset?
Yes, there is. For some reason, I just don't put a lot of trust and faith in Miami. But you think here's a good chance for Florida State to be defeated. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Having beaten five teams and lost to two, this is Georgia's final SEC game. They play the Auburn Tigers at home this weekend, and a chance for Georgia to try to get to Atlanta and for Auburn to try to keep some Atlanta hopes alive, even though they need a lot, and I mean a lot, to happen for them. So which team, does Auburn get the bounce back this weekend, or does Georgia get revenge for that incredible play last year?
Well, we'll have to say this, in this Georgia-Auburn game, one of the teams will be officially eliminated probably from the SEC championship game in this, the loser of this game. I just can't think that Georgia has a defense that can stop Auburn. That's what I'm thinking. But on the other hand, Todd Gurley comes back. He's refreshed. Will he be rusty or will he be resilient? We don't know. I'm not sure how this game's going to go, but because it's being played between the hedges, I kind of want to give Georgia the edge.
Interesting interdivisional game in the ACC. Clemson 7-2 playing at Georgia Tech 8-2. We'll see where that game ends up. South Carolina at Florida. This is an interesting game in the SEC East. Florida not mathematically eliminated, but they're pretty much eliminated. But South Carolina playing for pride and a chance to go to a bowl game as well. But Florida, you know, they're coming on the last couple of games.
Yes. Before the season started, probably we thought this might be the game to win the SEC East. But, Jacob, think about this. If things were to go a certain way, there could be a three-way tie for the East between Missouri, Florida, and Georgia.
That just makes my head hurt. It's about like the West. I mean, the West, who can – if there's a four-way tie, it's so confusing, it's hard to even read. Missouri at Texas A&M. This is, of course, the game that everybody thought was going to be a big year-end game, given the history these two had. But Texas A&M kind of fell off. But they're 7-3. I think that record probably surprises some people.
Yes, they're 7-3. Missouri 7-2. And Missouri has three SEC games left on their schedule. So they've got to win some games in order for them to be the East champion.
Yeah, they're backloaded with conference games, no doubt about it. And Kentucky and Tennessee, they've played for many, many years on the last weekend of the season, and here they are playing on November the 14th. But Kentucky has lost 14 straight in the Smoky Mountains, according to my stat sheet here. So can Tennessee get another win? I mean, this would be the second conference win this year, and something tells me they'll have another one before the year is over. And Kentucky, they'd like to close. They've had a decent year, Mark Stoops has, but they'd like to close and get to a bowl game.
Assuming, you know, don't assume anything after we saw what happened to Texas A&M and Auburn, assuming that Tennessee would beat Vanderbilt, you know, in the last game of the year, this game could be the deciding of whether either of these teams will be able to go to a bowl or not. By the way, Florida, of all the things that happened to them, they're pretty much assured of a bowl game now. They have five wins, and later on they play Eastern Kentucky. I think they'll get a win there at least.
Well, you never know. Last year Georgia Southern rolled in there, and they were blocking the wrong team, and we all know what happened there. But I think you're right. This year it'll be a different story. But that's a look at Week 12 of the college football season and look back at Week 11 and what a fantastic week it was. Professor, do you sense any more chaos this weekend?
Well, I don't sense it, but I smell it.
Yeah,
it just always seems to happen.
It seems that the college football season will, when you least expect it, put a result up there that completely shocks and surprises everyone. But we'll be watching this weekend. This is Jacob Bunn and the college football professor here at BunnSports.com. We'll be back next week.